Hey guys, I'm so excited to be with you on this episode of Worship Well Podcast. And today I have with me a very good friend of mine. It's actually my music director as well. He's an amazing musician, a talented young man, Kalen Penny. And we're going to be diving in into everything about worship and what he does as a music director, as a musician. And I'm really excited about what this conversation will look like. So Kalen, welcome to the show, but welcome to Worship World Podcast. So good to have you here, Kalen.
Oh man, it's great to be here, Tim. It's really great to be here. I'm honored. I don't think I've ever been on a platform like this. Yeah. So
you feel special?
I don't know. I feel weird, but you know, it's okay. It's okay.
Good. So let's kick things off. So a lot of people probably don't know who you are. I know you're popular in some circles, but just for the sake of those who don't know who Kalen Penny is, would you mind just tell us a little bit about yourself? And yeah, who is Kalen Penny?
Sure. Kalen Penny. Well, my name is Kalen Penny. I am a musician, music director, arranger, producer, based in the city of Ottawa. I was born in the island of Grenada, small island, you know, just 150,000 people. And I moved here to Canada in 2013 because my parents wanted to give me the opportunity to have better schooling. There wasn't a lot of opportunities for tertiary education. And specifically, I actually wanted to be a pilot at the time.
Oh, wow.
When I was young. But as the Lord has it and as life went on, I realized my calling or what I wanted to do sort of shifted when I started to understand what it means to follow the Lord and all that stuff. So now I'm here as a professional musician. I travel, I tour, I work with artists like Called Up Music, yourself, obviously, with Worship Well, on lots of artists locally. And that's pretty much my life, man. It's pretty simple. I'm a simple guy.
Yeah.
You say I'm popular, but I don't feel popular.
Well, you roll with the popular guys, so you're popular then. So, all right, yeah. That's good. That's good to know. And so you say you wanted to become a pilot.
Yeah.
I know there's more to that story. give us a concise version.
Sure.
What happened? And how did you end up not becoming a full-time musician?
Yeah, not a pilot. Ever since I was small, I love planes. I still love planes. I love planes, aviation. I love scientific things, but I love planes specifically. So that was the goal. The goal was to become a pilot, even though my parents also put me in classical music lessons as well. So then I fell in love with music as a child. So when we got to Canada, you know, and I started school, things were going well. Things were going really well, actually. I was top of my class, dean's list. I was getting through the ratings pretty quickly. My instructors were like, you're really good. You know, you're going to be on track in the next year and a half. And then things just got hard, man. My parents blessed them. You know, I don't think they really understood what it would cost to become a pilot. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was a huge cost. So by like halfway through my program, I just couldn't afford it anymore. Mm-hmm. But it was more than that. I think the reality of life, because this country is so different from the Caribbean in terms of opportunities and mentalities and stuff like that. I think all of that kind of just weighed down on me when I was like 18, 19. So I got my private pilot's license and then I couldn't continue the program. So everybody that was ahead of just, jumped ahead of me and they're graduating and getting their things and I couldn't continue. And then I started getting really depressed. And I was living out here by myself. My parents were still in Toronto. And I started to feel this impression in my heart. Back then, I didn't understand what it was. I think the Holy Spirit was trying to, but I felt this impression in my heart, like, you know, even though I was failing at the thing that I was supposed to be doing here in Ottawa, mm-hmm. I didn't want to go back home, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I couldn't understand why. My parents were like, come back home. You're not going to be able to continue the program. Come back home and get a side job or something. And stuff. And I was just like, no, I don't want to go back home. I just feel like I'm running away from something. I don't even know what something I was running away from was. Yeah. All that time I was in school, I was practicing bass. Mm. You know, my life was pretty boring. I went to school, came home, played music, mm-hmm. rinse, repeat.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge social person. So I'm playing bass, getting better at bass. getting better at, you know, programming things in Ableton. I just started to learn Ableton, little things, production things. I wasn't very good, but, you know, I started learning those things. All the while, I was also trying to find a church, mm-hmm. right? Because the church that I used to go to in Mississauga obviously doesn't have a branch. It's a very small church. Mm-hmm. I've always been part of small churches, actually. It's the story of my life.
Yeah.
So I started to, you know, I met a couple people here and there. I started to help a little community church in Bayshore. Mm-hmm. It was like a church that met in like a school hall, you know, and I would play, you know, some piano or some bass there with another guy. And mm-hmm. we would kind of just float around the city. Mm-hmm. I started to meet some people more and more. The Lord so had it, though, that one of the churches that I helped at was a Spanish church. Mm. I think it was downtown Bronson Bank and one of those intersections there by the highway. And I started to help out there randomly because I was just like, I just want to help at a church. Yeah. But I couldn't find a church that I really felt like, mm-hmm. you know, being a part of. That church was under another church and denomination that I'm currently going to right now.
Okay.
And they were looking for a bass player to hire.
Right. Okay.
I was like, oh, I'm broke. Mm-hmm. So let me see if I can do this job. Now I'm like 20 years old, I think. And so I called him. Which was big for me because I don't call people. I was super shy. Mm-hmm. I called the pastor. The pastor's like, hey, sure, let's meet. Let's have a meeting, you know, and we'll set it up and all that stuff. Fast forward, I met with him. I started playing at that church, realized that I wanted to stay at that church. Then there was a person at that church whose brother was a professional musician. Mm-hmm. He said, hey, man, you should go to this jam session that they're having. I'm like, okay, cool. So then I went to this random jam session, didn't know anybody. And at that jam session, everybody that was the top musicians of the city was at that jam session at that time.
Oh, wow.
I'm talking about like Clayton Connell that you know,
yeah.
all his buddies, everybody, were just at that jam session, that series of jam sessions.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. So I showed up, I didn't know anybody. I went to the wrong room at the first time. They're like, are you here for the jam session? I'm like, yeah, you know, like 20 years old. Yeah. They brought me into the room. After then, I left with more context that I expected.
Wow.
And from there, just the journey started.
Wow.
And there's so many details I'm leaving out, but like the main thing for me is that now I'm looking back, I'm seeing how the Lord was in there.
Mm, yes.
Because I wasn't necessarily looking for that.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
I was just looking for a way to survive.
Yes. Yes.
Right. And because the door with the flying thing closed, I was just feeling like, what do I do with my life now? All I wanted to do was fly. Mm. Even though I had a passion for music, I didn't know how to turn this into, because we weren't told that in the Caribbean, you'd be a musician.
Yep.
So, you know, it's been a lot, especially the first three to four years was rough, man. Cause now you're like, what do I do? I don't know how to do this, how to make money, how to sustain myself. What is purpose? What does that look like? Mm-hmm. And it's been a journey, man. So I think that's as much I could say for the origins.
Yeah.
But I thank the Lord for what he's doing in my life and he continues to do in my life.
Yes, sir.
When people see me now, I don't think people could understand that, you know, in the beginning, I was playing gigs for $75, you know,
right.
a month, you know. Wow. It's like, how do I make rent?
Lord have mercy.
You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's interesting.
Wow. And I think what I'm hearing from your story is that, you know, sometimes we have a path that we've chosen for ourselves.
Yeah.
And then you hit the roadblock.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a redirection.
Yeah.
It's not really the end of the road. Because I know a lot of people, you know, I've been through that in my career as well, I got it all figured out. We're just going to blow this up and it's going to be great. Mm-hmm. And then you hit that roadblock and it's almost like you come to the end of the road. Mm-hmm. But it's just God's way of redirecting you to exactly what you were made to do, you know, what he called you to do. And I look at you doing what you do today, and I see fulfillment in your eyes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that obviously wasn't a pleasant experience. Like you said, you were depressed about it. But it's how God is so wise in his dealings with us that even a closed door could actually just mean a redirection for a better purpose and for greater things that God has in stock for us. And I think people should be encouraged with that.
Yeah,
sometimes it doesn't mean that God is not in it. Mm-hmm. It could just mean God is calling you to something else.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
okay, so let's do some fun stuff. What are your three favorite worship songs? I know you probably have a lot, but of all time, three favorites. I don't need four, just three. Favorite worship songs of all time.
I think for a long part of my life, the first one was when I think about the Lord. I can't remember the artist. When I think about the Lord.
Yeah,
I think
it's Andrew Crouch.
How he raised me.
Andrew Crouch.
I used to love that song.
Okay.
I think the other two would be God Will Make a Way when it seems, because that's like the anthem for my life.
Of course.
When, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like, how am I going to, you know, make it to the end of the month?
God Will Make a Way.
You know?
Yeah, okay.
What's the third one? I think by what's his name, Jonathan McReynolds, Cycles.
Cycles. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cycles.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's good. If you were a singer, I would have asked you to sing all of them, but you're not. So I'm not gonna do that to you.
Please, thank you. Save me the embarrassment.
All right, okay. So what would you give me three gospel artists that has really influenced your journey as a musician, and you know, that you feel like you could, these people, you know, listening to their work and maybe, you know, playing with their materials has really, really helped you to become the kind of musician that you are today.
The biggest one in my earlier childhood and teenage years was Israel Houghton.
Okay.
And Israel and New Breed, like the 90s stuff to like the mid-2000s, early 2020 stuff.
Yeah, it was.
Man.
It was a goat.
That was, he was the top of the world for me, man.
Yeah.
So, and the people that he had on his team, like Aaron Lindsay and all those guys, musicians that he used at the time, that was some of my biggest influences in terms of even how I arrange today.
Right.
I think more recently, as I became an adult, I think would be Fred Hammond.
Mm-hmm.
I love all the stuff that he's worked on and the stuff he's been a part of, like the commission stuff.
Right.
And then in the more, old-ish to modern era, William McDowell.
Yes.
Right? The album, I think it's called The Cry.
Yeah.
Had me literally crying one day as I was taking the bus.
William will make it. We'll make it. You there,
man? Like, I was tears on the bus.
Rito
downtown on my way to something, and I was just like, "What is going on with this album?"
Wow.
You know, just the power behind the message of the songs and the words and the arrangements and how it just moves your spirit.
Yeah.
So I think those are my top three in terms of influences. Lots of influences from other places, of course, for sure. Yeah. But in terms of what really comes out of me, those three. Mm-hmm. I love those.
So since this is a worship podcast, and I'm obviously, I have to ask you, what does worship mean to you?
Mm-hmm.
Or what has God taught you about worship, or what are you learning about worship?
Mm. So my definition of worship is grounded in why the Lord created us in the first place.
Mm.
I've learned and I'm now believing that we were created for fellowship with him, right?
Yes, sir.
What does that mean? When he created us in the beginning, I don't think he just created us to have another set of servants. He already had angels and stuff to do that.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted beings that loved him on their own volition. He wanted beings that related to him, you know, with their own sense of identity, with their own, you know, all those things. So worship, I think, for me, is in response to how perfect and good God is.
Mm.
Right, because he's unfallible. Like there's no blemish about the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and worship is that response of like, thank you for making me such a holistic being that reflects you in a way. Now I'm gonna give you and back, and like an unfiltered form of adoration,
yes,
reverence,
yes,
and servants,
yes,
and service. Sorry. So, worship for me is just that pure acknowledgement of the sovereignty, the holiness,
yes.
The perfect, like just the perfect form of God. And it just needs to not include self at all. Because to truly worship something, you have to remove self. Right?
Yes.
I don't think you can worship something if yourself is also in
also
there.
Part of it.
So I guess all those words kind of culminate what worship is for me. When I worship the Lord, I remove myself and I say, Lord, I worship you not because of what you've done, because of who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's what worship means to me.
That's so profound. And I want to follow up on that conversation about worship.
Yeah.
And the reason why I want to do that is because as musicians, sometimes it's very easy for us not to think that worship then is for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's for the singers, it's for the worship leaders.
Yeah.
I'm just here to play, and I'm just here to support.
Yeah.
But I'm not really the worshiper kind of person. Mm-hmm. You know, I I might not even know the song they're singing, but I know the chords because there's a chart in front of me that I'm following. So I want to ask you, how important is the lifestyle of worship to you as a musician, and should that be something that every musician also have as well, a lifestyle of worship that's beyond just playing and making music?
I mean, if you're in the worship space, yes. You know, here's the thing, right? Like, I'm a realist. If your intention is just to be a gig musician and a worship just happens to be one of the gigs that you do, all power to you. Yeah, but you have free choice.
All poverty.
You know what I mean? Like, you have free choice. The Lord gives us free choice. So I'm going to give you free choice. Yeah. I'm not going to judge you somewhere, you know, like choice. But understand that if you want to have genuine impact in the worship space, like I'm talking about like life-changing kind of things, or if you want the Lord to actually use you in the worship space, you have to consider yourself a worshiper as a musician. You have to. It's a non-negotiable thing. Mm-hmm. Because a worshiper is not just someone who's singing, who holds the mic, like you were just saying. It's not someone who's just singing the lyrics. You know, we're worshiping in the way, the roles that we're given. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy behind the camera is worshiping. The guy behind the lights is worshiping. The guy behind the song console is worshiping. Mm-hmm. How is it worship? Well, we're working together as a conglomerate to create the best sound that we can offer towards him. Mm-hmm. We're giving our best, right? Not just halfway, not just, you know, prioritize the singer because the singer is the one singing the words. No, we're giving our best. Mm-hmm. And the singer is not going to sing their best if the mic sounds terrible.
Yes.
And if you're playing the wrong chords.
Absolutely. Yes.
So even the idea of support, yes, you are supporting in practice, but you're worshiping because you're joining the act of worship as a musician.
Yes.
So then now that should inform the choices that you make. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we can't have fun, you know, sometimes when we're playing music up there and it's a fun thing, we're also enjoying the time. Mm-hmm. But when the fun starts to supersede the purpose, I think is when it gets problematic.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. As musicians, especially if when you're a really good musician, where I was wired to just see everything at a technical level.
Yeah.
You know, where I was focused on the chords and the sound and, you know, the gear and, you know, and all those things. But we have to always remember that we're also engaging in a spiritual experience.
Yes, sir.
You know? Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I think that takes, for that to be understood, I should say rather, you have to have the personal relationship with God. You have to be pursuing God for yourself. You have to be reading the scriptures. You have to be praying. Mm-hmm. You have to be living as a Christian.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's not just the pastors and the worship leaders are held to that responsibility. Mm-hmm. We should be as too.
Yes.
You know, that's something that I've learned as I'm doing this as a musician. The missing element to, I think, the success that you're looking for is just having an actual relationship with the Lord.
Mm. Yes.
You know, because then you be concerned less about the other things. But just to answer your question, yes. Yeah, it's important that you yourself consider yourself to be a worshiper.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. Because worship is it's a matter of the heart.
Yeah.
I remember as well, because I'm a musician as well, I remember growing up in Nigeria, I remember there were times, actually, this is how it goes. On Sunday morning, we would come to church, we'll play for praise and worship. Mm-hmm. Right after that, we're going to leave. Mm-hmm. We're going to be outside, you know, maybe grabbing something to eat, you know, gisting, talking. But the rest of the service doesn't matter to us. Mm-hmm. The next time you see us back inside is offering time, because that's when they need music. Mm-hmm. Then we'll play, and then we'll probably, that's it. So it's pretty much, I come to church to play. Mm-hmm. Not to be a part of this service, not to sit down and listen to the word, not to sit down and be a part of the fellowship and everything else happening in the service. Mm-hmm. So I just saw myself as a musician that my job is come to church, play, and you don't need to have a personal walk with Jesus or have a personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, that's how I saw myself. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the true definition of success is truly in your personal walk with Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's really having that personal relationship with God. Mm-hmm. So you can be the most talented musician in the world, but to truly, truly, like you said, function in the worship ministry as a musician that actually leads people to God and make the impact that you're looking for, you cannot neglect that place of personal relationship with Jesus in praying, in studying the word, and having your own communion with Jesus and getting to know God for yourself, because that flows through what you play. It always does, right? So yeah, so I really agree with you on that one. And I think you've already touched on how you got into the worship ministry, right? You know, from the disappointment with you wanting to be a pilot, and then God kind of draws you into that space. So, but was there a pivotal moment in your journey, worship journey, that changed everything for you? That just kind of it's like, you know, that this was the moment that I'm called to do this.
You know, I don't think so, you know. I think it was a gradual understanding. Because I think for me, as I grew with my walk with the Lord, so did my understanding of what I'm doing is in His will, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think the reason why the Lord puts us through certain things is for our development, right?
Yeah.
He knows where we're coming from, what our weaknesses are, and He allows us to go through things, and how we navigate and respond to those things influences how much we grow through an experience. So my whole experience with the career change and then the depression and then, you know, going through a long period of just not having any money and, you know, could barely afford things and, mm-hmm. and debts are racking up that I had no control over.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And then feeling like, well, what do I do? Because I have no tertiary education. I can't qualify for anything. I can't get a job. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything. Feeling just completely useless. Mm-hmm. As the music thing continued, I think the only constant thing that I always felt is that I'll be okay, mm-hmm. in a weird way. I'll be okay, as I'm like, I'm willing myself into like, oh, no, mind control, I'll be mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. No, it's one of those things where it's like, things are rough, mm-hmm. but I can still wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not sleeping on the street.
Right.
Thank you, Lord, that there are some people that I know mm-hmm. care for me. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, I at least ate something today. Mm-hmm. There was always something I could come back to, and I think that was just because the Holy Spirit was with me. Mm-hmm. And I think when it started to really be apparent to me that music was the way forward was when I started to realize that doors were opening that I didn't work super hard for. Mm.
Mm. Favor right? of God, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even that one is a little, because I don't want to just leave that there, because someone will be listening and be like, okay, well, you know, if this door is opening, that means it's of God.
Then like, it must be God. Yeah.
Not everything is of God. Like, you know,
even good stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the devil can also open some doors.
Yes.
Not even the devil. Like, life can give you opportunities, right? I think it was more like there were specific ones that have happened, arrangements, mm-hmm. where it's like, brother, I didn't do the traditional work that was mm-hmm. required to get this contact.
Yes.
Right? Or to be in this space. Mm-hmm. But it's happened.
Yes.
That ease, and I put it in quotation marks, that ease of progression, I started to realize, okay, the Lord's hand is in this.
Yeah.
Because one, when I start to learn about the Lord and I learn about the favor of the God and how mm-hmm. he, you know, he takes care of his people, that as long as you love him and you mm-hmm. serve him and you mm-hmm. submit to him and all those kinds of things, I'm like, okay. I mean, the biggest example of the favor of God is the Israelites, right? Yes. You follow the whole journey from Exodus on, you know, until they got to the promised land. You mm-hmm. see, you know, even though they were disobedient in so many ways and they delayed so many things,
yeah,
he was still, because he made a covenant with them, he kept the covenant mm-hmm. and he gave them favor. So they won, you know, battles, they took territories, they overcame all kinds of enemies in ways that shouldn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. So if the God was with them back then, when they had so many stipulations, mm-hmm. in this era when Jesus Christ came, died, and all that stuff for us, he can do that for us.
Yes, sir.
So my realization came when I was kind of like halfway through, I want to say like a few years ago, 3 years ago, when I'm starting to realize, okay, the things that I have, I didn't really do that much work because I talked to other people. I'm like, yeah. I'm doing my marketing and I'm blowing up my social media and I'm trying to get this gig. And I'm here like, I didn't do any of that, you know? Then I was like, okay, thank you, Lord. I see what's going on. This is a call from all my life. Mm-hmm. Now, how do I continue to be obedient? How do I continue to keep my ear open for what he's saying next?
Yes, sir.
Because I think some of those things happened and I wasn't necessarily intentionally looking for his hand. He was just orchestrating everything.
Yeah.
So, sorry, it was a long answer. But
No. Yeah. I think it was needed. So, I know you play in different spaces.
Yeah.
And I just want to ask you, how do you stay focused as a full-time Christian musician when you have to be in different spaces that some may not be godly spaces? Mm-hmm. How do you still maintain your integrity, still knowing that I'm a Christian and not start doing foolish stuff, pretty much, when you are in a space that may not technically be godly? So how do you do that?
I thank the Lord that there is nothing that I've done that I'm like, I fully regret. But at the same time, I had to learn how to do that, right? One of my personal convictions is that I don't drink alcohol, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything against alcohol. I don't think there's also anything in the Bible that says alcohol is bad, but drunkenness is a sin.
Of course,
So the easiest way to avoid drunkenness is just not drink it, right? It's an idea of self-control. And one of the first battles I have to have is like, you know, when you go to like a bar, you play a jazz gig or something, there's always alcohol being served, you know? And as a younger person, I was like, you know, in my early 20s, I was like, you know what, it's probably not that bad. Let me just have like a rum and coke and stuff like that. So a couple of times I've done it, you know, or you go to a prison place and they offer you a beer. Most times I'll say no. Sometimes you're like, oh, it's okay. But I got to a point where it's like, even though that one time you drink the rum and coke is not going to really do anything to you, it's just, you're just leaving a crack of the door open to compromise your integrity for next time.
Yes.
Because the way the enemy works is that some things, he knows your weakness and he'll hit you right away, but some things, he works them over time.
Over time. Yes.
So you put the guard down a little bit today, a little bit more next time, a little bit more next time.
Yeah.
And before you know it, you're all the way in.
Mm-hmm.
So then I realized, you know what? So I just started having hard and fast rules for what I do and don't do when I'm out amongst the people. Because life is life. You can't be around Christians all the time.
Yes, absolutely. Right?
So it's hard and rules. I don't drink. I don't care if anyone offers me anything. I will let them know I don't drink. If they have an issue with it, then I have to like now look at that relationship and be like, is that worth keeping? But in secular sense, I don't drink. I don't do certain things. I don't stay out late. I'm always that guy that's like, yeah, I'm going home.
It's too late.
It's just, you know, like, because there's a certain, past a certain hour, you're just talking foolish, just doing foolishness. Right? And then for me is also filtering out what I say yes to. And it gets easier as you start to become more it got easier as I became more comfortable in my purpose and the reason why I do what I do. It was harder when I was younger because I didn't understand it and I was more focused on the money. So choosing everything, not everything secular is profane. So it could be not necessarily, you know, directed to the worship of God, but it's not profane. So if I'm playing some jazz music, that's feel-good music, that's good, you know, lyrics and stuff like that, and I have no issues with that. But again, it's all about the spirit.
Yeah.
If the spirit there is clearly demonic, and it's clearly, you know, pushing people towards something that is profane, I'm 100% more likely to not take it, even if the money is good.
Yeah.
So it just kind of keeps me, it's hard to do.
Of course.
Because some of those things pay really well. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to mostly steer away from a lot of those situations.
Yeah. And I agree with you. And, you know, like the Bible says that all things are lawful, but not all things are
beneficial.
Beneficial, permissible, right? So, and like you said, some things are not technically wrong.
Yeah.
But they just might be opening doors to some other things that you don't want to see or places you don't want to go. So it doesn't mean that it's wrong to do this, right? But, you know, it might actually be okay to do it, But is it okay for where you want to go? Exactly. Or is it okay for your health?
Yeah.
Is it okay for your personal walk with God? Exactly. Is it okay for your family? And so sometimes it's not just about good and bad.
No.
Is this good for me?
Yeah.
For where I am, for where I want to go, and for the relationship I have with God and the kind of person that I am. So thank you for really sharing that, because I know sometimes, and also sharing about not all good opportunities or good things means they're from God.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, you know, we feel like, yeah, there's an open door here. I'm going to do it, not knowing that it's a trap. You know, somebody said that an open door is just a door. Mm-hmm. Is what's behind the door that really matters, because it could be an open door to a jail.
Yeah,
it could be an open door to depression.
That's very true.
It could
true.
Be an open door to whatever, right? Yeah. It could be is who is behind the door that you're trying to go through, and that could, like I said, the devil can open up a door, and God can open up a door, and so boundaries are necessary.
Yeah, absolutely.
You have to have boundaries, and there's a quote that said that if you stand for nothing, you fall for everything. Mm-hmm. So you have to know who you are, what you stand for, what are your limitations, what are your weaknesses before you put yourself in some certain spaces. Mm-hmm. And don't ever think you cannot do it. Mm-hmm. The Bible said that he that thinks he stands, let him take heed lest they fall. Mm-hmm. Because most of the things that precede a fall is pride. Mm-hmm. Oh, it can never happen to me. Oh, no, it can never be me. No, no, everybody can do it but me. Guess what? You're going to do it. Mm-hmm. So knowing that we have to trust in the Holy Spirit, ask God for help when we need it, knowing that in and of ourselves, we cannot really resist. Mm-hmm. But through the help of the Holy Spirit and through the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control, mm-hmm. we can say no to certain things. So thank you for sharing that. It's really helpful. So I want to move on. I want to talk about, as an MD, as a musician, mm-hmm. how do you stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit while you're managing the technical aspect of what you do mm-hmm. as an MD and as a musician?
Something that I learned, the church that I go to, the pastor, he speaks about, he's always challenging the worship team at our church about our output. And one of the things that I've carried with me from what he said over the years is, if we're not walking with the Lord throughout the week, and then you're expecting, you know, a 45-minute, one-hour prayer the night before worship mm-hmm. to get you charged up, you're mistaken.
Not going to happen.
Yeah. I'm paraphrasing, obviously.
But yeah, of course. Yeah.
Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit means that you need to be used to what his voice sounds like. Mm-hmm. You need to be used to what it means to operate in the Spirit. So that means you need to be doing that on the off times too. Mm-hmm. So the challenge that I give myself is that, am I walking with the Lord every day?
Yes, sir.
So then when I get to the instrument, and when I get to the arrangement, that even though I'm not feeling, you know, super spiritual, yes. I can still work from that overflow.
Yes, yes.
I'm still influenced by the relationship
yes.
that I had through the week. And that's tough, bro, because some days I'm just like, I don't want to talk mm-hmm. to God today. I don't want to pray. I don't.
Yes.
It's a real thing. Like you wake up in the morning and you want to mm-hmm. scroll on Instagram or like watch YouTube instead of read the word.
Yes.
Or
yes,
pray.
Yes.
You know, you want to do those things. But the conviction that I get in my heart is like, man, when you do that, don't expect now to on Sunday morning to have a hallelujah, speak in tongues, spin around three times, and then all of a sudden.
Spin around three times.
You know what I mean? Like all of a sudden you play. You know what I'm trying, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, you know, you're falling out and you're screaming and all that stuff, but there's no power. You know? Like,
oh, wow.
So it's a challenge, man. And I'm grateful for the church that I go to and the leaders. And that's a side I'm going to say, like, as a musician, man, I can't stress how important it is to have someone that's speaking into your life.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right?
Yes.
Someone that values the word above anything else.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes.
That can speak and pour into your life.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Because we need that accountability. We need someone to be able to say, hey, man, and to even challenge us on certain things.
Yes.
Because, like you said, pride as a musician, you can sleep in. Sometimes we can get so focused on the wrong things. Mm-hmm. We need somebody to be like, hey, you know, what's going on?
Get back in line.
Come on. You know?
Yeah.
So, because I have that at my home church, you know, it helps me kind of realign when I'm starting to like get a little mm-hmm. wary. And then it helps me with what your question is. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, okay, so I'm trying to be consistent throughout my entire life. So when I get to the job that I need to do, there's something I can pull from.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah. So that's my answer.
That's very profound. And may I just add, the accountability is actually for your protection.
Yeah.
And I know we've got some crazy people out there. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you should stay in an abusive relationship. If you feel like somebody's a tormentor more than a mentor, then run for your life. But like you said, we need to seek those people out.
Yes.
Somebody that's speaking into your life, that is, they're pretty much helping you on your journey to not go off rails.
Yes.
I have those people in my life. And let me also add that they also don't have to be even people that you see physically. Mm. They could be people that you just make sure that you stay under their teachings. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people that are mentors of mine, like Pastor William McDowell. Before I ever met him physically, I listened to everything he teaches on worship, on the worship ministry.
Yeah.
And that was my mentor from afar before I ever met him physically.
Yeah.
You know, these days, sometimes even when you meet some people physically, all we want is a photo op. You know, you just want to take pictures. But maybe God has brought those kind of people in, you know, across your way, so that you can see them as people that can provide that covering that you need. Yeah. So either it's a physical covering, somebody you can touch and feel, or somebody that is remote, just make sure you stay accountable. Absolutely. There's someone actually, you know, that they've gone ahead of you, they know more than you, and you are humble enough to be taught, to be corrected, to be instructed.
Yep.
And I think that's so profound. Thank you, because I know, as musicians, like I said, sometimes we feel like, we're the best thing that's happened since sliced bread, and, you know.
Yeah, but it's tough, but I mean, hey, man. Because it's not only that, too. I think, one of the things, you told a story about how, you know, there was a time when, you know, you play in church and then you go, you know. I've seen that, too, right? Mm-hmm. I grew up, the thing is, I wasn't allowed to do that, because my parents were like, no, you're not doing that, right? You know, when I started playing in, even before I started playing in church, when I was 14, 13, We sat through church.
Wow.
We weren't allowed, you know, as children to just go off and play while church is going on. You sat in church, you listened to the word. You know, even if you don't understand what it is, you sat through church. You know, my mom would give me, I know, a couple of dollars and be like, you're going to give offering.
Oh, bless God, you know, your parents, man.
Right? It's just, you know, I thank the Lord for them. But here's the thing. Why am I saying all this? It's because I think leaders of the church, the aunties, the uncles, the pastors, they've created a situation where they disregard the musician. Right?
Let's talk about it.
Or they use the musician just for their needs, and then, you know, but they don't care about their souls. Right? So it's a negative feedback loop, because then there's some of the aunties that are like, well, why don't you stay in church? These musicians are always bad. But then at the same time, you don't care about them. Like, you don't care about their well-being. You don't care about their spiritual life. You don't hold them to any kind of standard. You just want them to come play, and then they leave. You know, and then when they leave, you're like, oh, whatever. But then when they get into issues, it's like, oh, see, blah, 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 blah. I don't understand the double standard there.
Right.
So I do blame, you know, some of the leadership for not understanding that they need to care for all the members of the team.
Yes, sir.
Not just their lead singer.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yes.
They need to care for all the members of the team, their spiritual health as much as, you know, their other development in life. But then as musicians, too, we need to start, promoting this narrative that it's all about us.
Yes.
It's all about what you need. And protect yourself, because the church is bad, blah, blah, blah. Don't get me wrong. It's founded in some truth. The church has the church has hurt a lot of people. But a lot of times, I don't think it's the church's fault that you're having personal issues.
Yes. Take responsibility for that.
Take responsibility for some of those things.
Yeah.
Let's be real. You were hurt by the church, true, but then you didn't seek any kind of counsel for anything else.
Right.
You know, you don't read the Bible, so then you don't even know what the nature of God is. So you assume what the nature of God is based on somebody's, you know, behavior, when in actuality, it's just someone being sinful.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, that's not God. God's not going to do that. God's not going to hurt you that way, but you don't know that because you don't read the word.
Yes.
So that's the issue.
Yes.
So a lot of musicians, you don't read the word, you don't do those things, and then we're also influenced by the world's system. So now it's like, get your bag, protect yourself, do what's best for you, you know, do your thing. And then we're like, oh, I'm rather play secular gigs instead of church gigs because they're going to pay more, they're going to take care of me, and all those things. When are you losing your soul?
At what cost?
At what cost?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
One of the books I read when I was on the incredibly long flight to Australia. My God.
I went to the end of the earth.
The end of the earth, man. But one of the books I read from back to front was Ecclesiastes. Mm. I don't know why I ended up there. I said, Lord, I just want a book to the Bible to read. And then I opened Ecclesiastes.
Yeah, you become wise after that one.
My guy was just like, everything is chasing the wind.
Everything is vanity. Everything is vanity.
Everything is pointless. Why should you toil? You shouldn't even be wise. Why would you seek knowledge? And I'm here like, what is this guy? Is this same guy that writes Proverbs?
Yeah.
And you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, so what is going on? But you know what the Holy Spirit spoke to me? And I still want to go back and read it again so I can get more revelation. You know what? You know what you spoke to me? You said, you know, at the end of the day, everything you're chasing is meaningless.
Hmm.
Especially without me.
100%.
Right? It really is meaningless. You know, the houses we want to get, the relationships, everything. All the good things. They're good things. But they're all meaningless because you're not going to take anything to the grave.
Yes.
At the end of the day, you know, the one thing you want to hear is that, well done, my good and faithful servant, you were, you know, mm-hmm. instead mm-hmm. of being like, depart from me, I didn't know you.
Yes, yes.
So it is meaningless. It just helped me start to refocus and to calm down about the money, calm down about the, you know, the fulfillment in career, calm down about all those things and realize, hey, man, these things are good things. You mm-hmm. do need to live and you need to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to care about your soul.
Yes, sir.
And the souls of others.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I doing, am I impacting people so then they can be one for the kingdom, or am I just doing this so I can get their money?
Yes, sir.
The same money that I can't take with me when I die.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know? And I think that's a perspective every person should have, but every musician I'm challenging should have, because I think you'll start to understand the Lord will honor that.
Yes.
And then he will add on to you those things
Absolutely.
That you need.
No, man, that's really a good conversation. And during our Worship World Conference, during the pastors and leadership breakouts, I actually shared about our leaders should actually care about the people,
yeah.
not just what they can do for the church.
Yeah.
I know sometimes we get caught up in the numbers. Our numbers are great. More people are coming to church. But ours is the soul and the well-being of the people who are serving
yeah.
to make that happen.
Yeah.
Do you care enough
yeah.
to actually check on them?
Yeah.
How are they doing? Because mm-hmm. that is very important. Mm-hmm. There's a quote that I heard a long time ago. It said, things are to be used and people are to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we get caught up in using people
yeah.
to get things.
And we love things.
And we love things. And so I understand. I've been one of those people that have suffered that lack of care
yeah.
from leadership. They're yeah, just yeah. after my gift.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It can play real well. The only time my phone will ring is when I'm not in church. Playing, not when I'm not in church.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Tim not on the keys today?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. To the point that I'm like, do you actually care about me?
Yeah.
Care about my soul? Care about my well-being?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does that matter to you? And yeah. I think it should matter. But like you also said, we also have to take personal responsibilities in some areas. Mm-hmm. You know, everything is not always leadership's fault.
Yeah.
You also, as a musician, need to grow up and say, you know what?
You have to.
This is me. I got to grow up in this area.
Exactly.
I got to be accountable in this area. I got to be more responsible yeah. in this area. So it's got to be a balance of both,
I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. I think this has been a great conversation so far. I'm actually going to move real quick. And then before we end this, what are some common mistakes that worship leaders and singers make musically? How can they improve? So tell on them.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. Share some of them.
Tim, I don't know, man.
No, don't name names. Just say. No, they won't know who you're talking about.
No, we don't
But common mistakes that you think worship leaders and musicians, worship leaders and singers make musically,
mm-hmm.
and how can they improve?
I think the biggest thing that gets my thing is timing.
Timing, okay.
It's timing. If you're talking about mistakes, I think a lot of people learn music in a way that doesn't get them to understand the fundamentals of timing. I don't know how to even, you know, dissect that, but I think a common mistake is that they just don't know or learn how to find themselves in a song. And the progression of a song and how we're moving forward. You know, even if you're singing without drums and without, they're just coming at a random time, you know what I'm saying? And again, worship is worship.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying you have to be perfect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But sometimes it's hard to,
yeah.
You know, if your worship leader is leading and they don't know where they are time wise, then people can't follow. Then it gets really annoying fast. But I think another thing too is, this one might be a little deep, but I think it almost makes worship leaders make specifically is trying to be like somebody else. Mm. When all you really need to do is give your worship.
Be yourself.
Just be you, man.
Yeah.
You know, and people are like, what do you, I can hear somebody say, like, be me, but like, that's me, it's not going to do anything. But that's, see, that's the problem, though. We were conditioned that this is the way worship looks like, mm-hmm. and this mm-hmm. is powerful worship, and then people respond to that.
Yes.
It's like, oh my gosh, that young man or that young lady was anointed because they did these things. That's not what true worship is. True worship is your full, unfiltered expression of adoration for the Lord.
Yes, yes.
Right? And you're blessing the name of the Lord. So then do that in the way the Lord wired you.
Yeah.
You know, when I play, and I feel it, when I play with a keys or bass and I'm behind worship leaders, I can tell the ones who are flowing in their own way because it's easy for me to just support mm-hmm. what you're doing. Mm-hmm. When I have to like sit there and dissect what you're doing, or it just feels completely like there's no, the spirit isn't moving, like everyone's just jointed. I was like, you're trying to do something that's not you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're trying to put on a spectacle. And it's making it hard, but they don't realize that, right?
Yes.
I think that's a big mistake worship leaders make.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's the two I'll say for now.
Yeah. I mean, and I think there's a difference between being inspired by someone.
Yeah.
From copying someone.
Absolutely. No one says you can't be inspired.
Be inspired. But be original. Be unique.
Be you.
Embrace your uniqueness, exactly. Right?
And that you happens to look very similar to the other person.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
But sometimes it might be completely different.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I love this conversation, man. So I guess, okay, what advice would you give to musicians who want to grow in the anointing and not just skills? I mean, because I think sometimes, like you said, it takes a lot of work to develop that spiritual side of what we do. Because, you know, it takes some disciplines and some daily practices. So what advice would you give to someone that, you know what, they know they're good at playing, but they feel like they need to develop more spiritually mm-hmm. and carrying the mantle, the weight, the anointing of actually playing than just being skillful on the instrument?
Servant ministry. I'll unpack that.
Servant ministry.
And serve in the ministry.
Serve in the ministry. Okay. Yeah.
What I mean by that, don't just be a musician. Mm-hmm. At my church, we're a smaller church. So that a lot of responsibilities kind of fall on people to do double roles and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's also no distractions of the lights, the possibilities, the fame, the gear, and all those things. Mm-hmm. Now, that can also be a downside, depending on who you talk to, and mm-hmm. that could be another discussion, mm-hmm. you know, thing. Mm-hmm. But for the point of this discussion, mm-hmm. those things aren't distractions. Mm-hmm. So it's just you and maybe a keyboard, you and whatever instrument you play, mm-hmm. and you have to give your best form of worship when there's no cameras, there's no lights, and there's 50 people in the congregation.
Yes, sir.
Now you really have to care about the people's souls mm-hmm. and care about the output and the reason why you're there every mm-hmm. Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think that'll grow your spirituality because then it'll start to force you to change your perspective as to why you do it. Because it's easy, and I'm going to be very honest, it's easy to go to another church or when I go on tour, for example, and just do a job. Mm-hmm. The lights are on, the camera's on, you know, there's gear galore, you know, I'm not doing the job. Mm-hmm. You know, even though, yes, I can impact somebody, mm-hmm. I don't know if that really adds to your spiritual growth as much as you serving at your local church every Sunday, where you have to pray, where you have to prepare your hearts, where you have to deal with people, especially if you talk to people and people come with different issues mm-hmm. and whatever, you know, mm-hmm. and you have to now have worship mm-hmm. or be in a worship team that you see every day and you're fight about certain things. And that will, I think, will grow your spirituality.
Yes.
So I think for a musician, get plugged into a church for real. Don't just play at a church for a gig.
Mm, yes, sir.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if it's not like a church in a traditional sense, get acquainted with a group of people.
Community, yes.
You know, mm-hmm. that are doing things for the Lord, mm-hmm. right? That are trying to, you know, push the kingdom forward and commit to that. So then you will have to be challenged spiritually to grow. Because as whatever you're part of grows, you will have to grow. Mm-hmm, you can't stay mm-hmm, stagnant. Mm-hmm. that'll help. That's what helped me. That's being at this church, it wasn't about my career growth. Mm-hmm. It was about my spiritual growth. Because I learned a lot about being a Christian at the church that I'm at.
Yes.
Right? The pastor is always challenging me about certain things. You know, the word that comes from the pulpit, listening to the word, taking in the words, taking in the word, all those things. Those things challenge me. And I think it helps me now exist outside. Because now I'm gaining those fundamental things. So don't discount the church thing. I think a lot of musicians are always looking for churches that will give them the platform.
Yes, yes.
But I think it's more important to find a church that will help you grow spiritually. Or a community of people that will help you grow spiritually.
Oh, that's a perspective that I've never seen before. And I think it's very vital. Like you said, be a part.
Yeah.
Serve in a church. Be a part of the church. You know, it's like for someone like you just got back from Australia from a tour. You know, maybe while you're on tour, your brain, you know, you're on cloud 20. Now coming back to your local church, it's like, yeah, we're back to life. You know, now bring yourself down from wherever you went to and now serve the people of God. And that really, that's very, very impactful. Thank you for saying that. Because like I said, musicians, you need to feel that you're part of a community. It helps you to grow. And you begin to understand why you do what you do. Wow. I really love that. So as we're wrapping up this, so what advice would you give to a young or emerging musicians who feel overlooked or discouraged right now? Maybe they're putting in the work. It's just not going anywhere. They just feel like somebody's always been picked over them. They feel overlooked or they just feel discouraged right now. And I know you've gone through that season of love. So what would you say to that person right now that feels overlooked or discouraged?
What would I say? I think two things I would say. The first one is ask the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to give, renew your mind, to give you a new perspective as to why you're doing, why you're preparing yourself. Right?
Yeah.
That'll help. That'll help because while I acknowledge and the human side is hard to want to do something really badly but not get the opportunity, it'll help when you just align your purpose with the Lord, the purpose of the Lord, which will kind of give you a bit more patience and probably give you insight as to why you weren't picked in the first place. You know?
Yeah.
And it could be, and I'll even unpack that too, because I don't want to, I want to be as balanced as possible. That insight could be someone's actually being unfair and you need to move. Right.
Yep. For real.
Someone's being like ridiculous and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to mess with you, or someone's trying to develop you and you're not actually ready.
Right.
Both of those things could be a possibility. Right. And then the second thing is, bro, just keep on preparing. Because one of the things I kind of realized is that so much can change in a short space of time, but we're so good as human beings at focusing on what's not happening that it feels like an eternity.
Yes, yes.
Okay? My biggest example of that was before 2021, the last time I traveled on a plane was when I came to Canada. Okay? That was already 10 years going. That's when I flew on a plane. 2021 till now, if my passport was being stamped still, I would need a second passport.
Wow.
Right? And that, back then, it felt like, man, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not doing anything. What am I doing? I can't, you know. Now I'm like, whoa, thank you, God.
Need more room in your passport.
I need, you know what I mean? You know, if there, like again, if my passport, if they were still stamping passports, like I wouldn't.
Yeah, you wouldn't have any room.
You know, so I say this to say, like, be patient, man, because in a month, 2 months, you might be turning on to being God, like, yo, God, I don't have enough time.
It's just too much. I can't. Back up a little bit. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So slow it down, especially if you're young, man, like, there's more time than you think.
Yes.
Don't let the world compress the amount of time that you have. Because I was telling you, you need this.
Yeah,
there's more time than you think. That's something I'm telling myself still to this day.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, there's more time that is there. And everything happens in the Lord's timing as long as you're obedient. Absolutely. If you're not obedient, obviously things can get delayed and you're going to mess yourself up. But as long as you're obedient, the Lord's timing is perfect because his perfect will, you know, will prevail. So as a young musician, I'll be like, align your mentality with him, your spirit with him, and then be patient, continue to prepare.
Yes.
Your season will come.
No preparation is wasted.
Yeah, none of
it. It's not wasted. It's a good time to prepare for the journey ahead. And you know, like when God told Elisha to rise up, eat, because the journey is long. And the Bible said that he went in the strength of that food for 40 days. Mm-hmm. So sometimes God's preparing you for a long journey. And your root needs to go deep.
Deep, man.
So deep. Yeah. So don't neglect those spaces. I know you may feel discouraged right now. You may feel like, why is this happening to me? This is taking too long. But just a little bit more patience.
Yeah.
It goes a long way. And God is in control of that timing. Yeah. And sometimes what we do is we run out of that season prematurely.
Yeah.
You're not ready.
Yeah.
And then you're exposed.
Yeah.
But maybe if you just wait longer,
yeah,
then you can sustain what God is bringing your way.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
is there any, do you have any closing thoughts? Anything on your mind you want to share with creatives, worship leader, any prophetic word?
Prophetic word.
Anything on your mind. Just look at the camera, share whatever.
I don't come from those cultures, but but I think a thought that came to my mind, and I'll say this in closing, is the choice to walk with the Lord is a daily one. Mm. And whether you're a musician, a creative, or, you know, I guess we like to categorize creatives and then business professionals and all that stuff. But everybody needs to make that choice daily. And the impact of your work will hinge on your relationship with the Lord, right? And I'm talking about true impact. I'm not talking about the money you make. That's not impact. True impact will hinge on what your relationship with the Lord is like. So I would urge you to make that choice daily. Pick up your cross and follow him every day. And just watch the Lord do something miraculous in your life.
Amen. So yeah. Where can we find you if we're looking for you?
Amen.
Plug yourself.
I hate social media so much. But my most active form of social media is Instagram. The tag is Soulkeys, Soulkeys. It's a blue logo. You'll see a Canadian and a Canadian flag next to it. And you can find me there. I'll post things every once in a while. Mostly it's reposts of other people's stuff because I can't be bothered to do my own thing, but I don't have tons of social media, but I'll plan to work on that.
Working on that, guys.
I'll try.
Thank you so much, Kaylan. So good to have you here. I'm so glad we got to talk.
Blessed
about
to be here, man.
I know we've had this private conversation, so now I'm glad that we're bringing them out
into
the public. We're bringing all our dirty laundries out there and let people be a part of this. So thank you so much for being here, man.
Oh, man.
And to all of you, thank you for watching and for being a part of this episode with us. And really hope that it's been impactful to you. Make sure you follow our pages. Make sure you also subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we can't wait to see you on our next episode. God bless you. Bye for now.